Given the times we live in, anyone with a cell phone can now snap a picture, shoot a video, write a short blurb, and then hit post or publish, instantly uploading all that information to the internet for all the world to digest. Thanks to this technology, we now have the ability to know the very moment something has happened. In fact, we can now bear witness to things while they're still playing out. Now, as amazing and wonderful as this technology may be, there are some definite downsides and dangers to such real-time reporting. For one, things can get shared, things can get reported on before they ought to be shared and reported on. We're posting, we're reporting, even though all the facts aren't in yet. You think that can cause some problems? Well, duh, right? When all the facts aren't in yet, what ends up being reported almost always is wrong information, plain and simple. And once this happens, the damage is done, right? You can't unring a bell. The initial shock report, the breaking news, that's the only thing that people will remember, even if it's lacking all the facts, or any facts for that matter. Later corrections, if they come at all, they often don't change the opinion that's already been formed based on the initial report. Now, look, I know it's not our human nature, especially in this day and age, that's become so accustomed to having instant access to all matters of information in the palm of our hands. I get it. It's not our human nature. But like it or not, there are times when we need to be patient. We need to wait for all the facts to come in. We need to wait until everything has played itself out before we go running our mouths. There are times when we need to open our eyes and our ears to what's still unfolding and keep our mouths shut until everything has been unfolded and revealed, until all the facts are in and settled. How different our world, our nation, and even our own individual lives would be if we simply did this. And no, that's not a question. That's a statement of fact. Our lives would, no doubt, be different if we were just patient and if we just waited for all the facts, if we listened more and spoke less until all the facts were known. Now, here's where I'm going with all this. As we turn our attention to the gospel lesson today, the account of the transfiguration of Jesus, we hear Jesus giving a very explicit command to Peter, James, and John to do just that, to keep your mouth shut. Now, this raises the obvious question, right? Why? Why does Jesus command his three most trusted disciples to not say a word to anyone about the great and glorious things that they just bore witness to? Wouldn't something as amazing and miraculous as this divine mountaintop experience, wouldn't it be news that should immediately be shared with anyone and everyone? Here's the answer to our prayers, folks. Everything we've been looking for is happening right here on this mountaintop. Well, folks, the answer to the question of silence, it's right there in the rest of Christ's command. Tell no one until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. Jesus isn't saying here, don't ever tell anyone at all. No, he's just saying, wait. Wait. The rest of the events still need to play out. There's more to this story than just this earthly mountaintop glory. And that's true, too, isn't it? We know how the rest of the story plays out. There's still a very ugly but necessary crucifixion that needs to take place. The Transfiguration Mountaintop, that's not the last stop. There's still Golgotha. There's still the resurrection. There's still the Ascension Mountaintop. There's still a whole lot of story to go. These three guys didn't know any of that, though, not at the time. They didn't understand, not yet at least. The rest of man's salvation story still needed to play itself out. Standing atop that Transfiguration Mountaintop, though, they didn't have all the facts. I want you to imagine the damage that could have resulted if Peter, James, and John immediately picked up their cell phones on that mountaintop and started tweeting and texting that the Messiah in all his glory was here along with Moses and Elijah. Believe it or not, in terms of laying the foundation of faith, it would have been horrendous. People would have flocked from all over to get a piece of that mountaintop glory, right? Here we go. Let the revolution begin. You know, I'm going to ride Team Jesus all the way to Easy Street now. All that radiance, that magnificence, that glory. I mean, who wouldn't want a piece of that action? You already know the rest of the story, though, don't you? All that radiance and magnificence and glory, it was going to necessarily give way to the brutal betrayal and arrest of Maundy Thursday, to the darkness and utter defeat of Good Friday, defeat from their perspective at least. And it had to give way. Because without the cross, there's no salvation, is there? There's no hope, there's no victory, there's no true and eternal glory. Had these chuckleheads started tweeting and texting and running their mouths before all the facts had come out, all those hopes and dreams of all those people, built upon half a story and not all the facts, all those hopes and dreams, all that faith would be dashed when the rest of the story necessarily began to play itself out in bloody, traumatic fashion. And truth be told, I think all of us here can understand the hurt and the damage that I speak of. I mean, we're Christians, right? And yet, when things don't shake out the way we want or expect, our faith can and does suffer some damage. You know as well as I do that when things come up a bit short of expectations, or completely blow up in our face for that matter, especially after you pray, it can make you bitter. It can make you doubtful, jaded, untrusting. As Christians, we all know that we're supposed to bear crosses, but when we actually have to bear a cross in our lives, you know, I mean, you look to heaven, you're like, yo, what gives? You've got the wrong guy here, God. You know, I don't deserve this. We look for glory in our lives, don't we? Not just in terms of what's to come in heaven, but in the here and now, in our lives here and now. In fact, I'd say we even expect a certain amount of glory in our daily lives here and now because, well, after all, we're good Christians, right? At least better than those people. Aren't we entitled? You know, doesn't the fact that we're Christians, doesn't this entitle us to a little glory and ease? I mean, look at all that we do. Look at all that we don't do. Doesn't all that count for something? So yeah, there are times in our lives that we do look for glory, that we expect to find glory and ease of life and rewards and praise, and instead we find only a cross. And oh, the damage those crosses can cause in our daily lives. Here's the deal. Right? Here's what all this means for us today. You do know the rest of the story, that those three guys standing atop that mountaintop didn't know at the time. By the grace of God, through the working of His Holy Spirit and faith, you have all the facts. You know that Christ Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate, that He was crucified, died, and was buried. You know the necessity of that all. You know that Good Friday wasn't the end of the story. You know that He also descended into hell to declare victory over sin, death, and the devil. You know that He rose again from the dead on the third day. You know that He ascended into heaven, that He sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty in eternal supreme victory. And you also know that He'll come again in all glory. You know through faith that this coming again in all power and glory, you know that this is nothing to fear or dread, right? Come, Lord Jesus. You know what all this means. By grace, through faith, you have all the facts. And yeah, all those facts necessarily include what's taking place in our lives today and always until the end of the age. Right? This is my beloved Son. Listen to Him. Well, what does He tell us? He gives us all the facts that we need to have, guys, all the facts that we need to know His peace that surpasses all understanding. Right now, even as we suffer, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Our Lord continues to give us a heavenly glimpse of His almighty and divine love for us by pointing us to His ongoing presence among us, right? His word, His sacraments, that great foretaste of the feast to come. And I want you to think on this, because when our Lord was transfigured, He was giving those three disciples a glimpse at the rest of the story. You see, he knew how their weak faith would be damaged by the traumatic events of his impending passion. This is why the Almighty gave them this loving glimpse of glory, of victory. He was giving them a sneak peek at the end of the salvation story. All the blood, the sorrow, the brutality that was about to happen in the weeks to come, that was actually part of the plan. It wasn't an accident. God's plans hadn't blown up in their faces, right? The cross was the plan. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. In spite of what you're going to see in the weeks to come, as my beloved Son is betrayed and brutalized and murdered, he is still my beloved Son. I am well pleased with him. Do not be deceived. Folks, in a very real way, this is exactly what God is doing for you this very morning. Though he's not rending the heavens and scaring us out of our wits like he did with those three thick-skulled disciples who didn't know the rest of the salvation story like you and I do. Your Lord and Savior continues to manifest, to reveal, to hold out to you his absolutely free and blood-bought gifts of eternal life and complete forgiveness and everlasting salvation. I mean, look, right here to the altar, to the pulpit, the font, here is Christ. Here is the peace that surpasses all understanding. Even here, in the midst of suffering, even as you suffer, even as you make your way through this shadowy valley of death, here is Christ. Do not be deceived. Do not lose hope. My dearly beloved by God, here on this little mountaintop that is God's church on earth, here is where God is coming to us and dwelling with us. Here is his beloved Son, with whom he's well pleased. So may God grant you, in the remaining days that you have left to run this race that we call life, may he grant you the patient humility of faith to see and to hear and to hold fast to the whole story of his almighty and ongoing presence in your daily life. May he also grant you the same saving faith that not only recognizes and trusts in all the facts that of God's ongoing love for you in Christ, but may he also grant you the wisdom that understands that things are different on this side of the cross. Things are different on this side of the tomb, right? Faith, may he grant you a faith that doesn't lose hope or drop the reins and run like Chicken Little when things get tough or don't go according to your own plans. May he grant you the faith that goes out into your daily lives and vocations, freely and boldly telling the world about the glorious fact that it is finished in Christ and because of Christ. The faith that goes out and speaks of the glorious fact that is Christ crucified and resurrected for you and for all mankind. That glorious fact that this same almighty victorious Christ abides with us even now, in mercy, in grace, and in a love and peace that surpasses all understanding and knows no bounds or limits. May all these Christ-centered facts, may they be your praise, your glory, your peace, and may they be in your hearts and on your lips, now and into all eternity. Amen.